WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Demonstrators protesting police abuse gathered peacefully in Harrisonburg, Charlottesville, and Stanton over the weekend, but there was violence in Richmond, and protesters spray-painted several Confederate statues there. Meanwhile, unemployment in the Commonwealth hit a new record last week, and hurricane season begins today, and with the coronavirus already stretching emergency resources, the Red Cross of Virginia makes some changes in its preparation. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, June 1st. Governor Ralph Northam has declared a state of emergency after a weekend of anger and frustration over the killing of black men and women by the police. Northam has approved a curfew in Richmond through the middle of this week, but protests erupted in Richmond again Sunday night. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has more from this weekend.
In eastern Virginia, protesters shut down the Hampton Roads Bridge tunnel. In Roanoke, they marched to the police station. And in Richmond, peaceful demonstrations turned violent night after night. Protesters set fire to dumpsters and buildings. Richmond police say they blocked firefighters from responding. And under still unclear circumstances, a man was shot and wounded. Police used chemical agents on marchers. Saturday night, Richmonder Alex Young was blocking a street on his bike when police cars came swerving around the corner. As Young scrambled to get out of the way, an officer leaned out the window and sprayed him with something.
I guess this is what happens when you want to stand up for other people's rights. You're going to take a hit every once in a while.
You okay?
I mean, I got pepper sprayed. It sucks, but I'm okay.
The sun rose Sunday morning on the burned-out headquarters of the Daughters of the Confederacy and the graffitied Confederate statues of Monument Avenue, including Robert E. Lee.
The tags are all over the base and around the bottom in big, bold letters that says Freedom.
A couple blocks away, business owners spent the morning cleaning broken glass and boarding up windows. And downtown advocates got back to work, less than a mile from the historic site where human beings were once sold into slavery. Hundreds gathered for a rally. Grassroots organizers like Asadiq Abdul Rahman have pushed for more police accountability in Richmond for years, peacefully. Abdul Rahman recalls 2 years ago when a young black teacher was shot and killed by a Richmond officer. He and others had immediate demands that they say still haven't been addressed.
Every building damaged, every fire set should be blamed on those who opposed peaceful change.
Later, in a scene so unlike the tense standoffs of the night before, a police officer knelt to talk to a 4-year-old girl holding a Black Lives Matter sign.
What's on your chest?
A police badge, because I want to be a police officer when I grow up.
Her mother, Anika Carter, brought her to this peaceful rally to show her that she matters.
And she has a right to breathe. She has a right to state her opinion. And she has the right to live in peace and be anything that she wants to be. And be treated fairly.
That's a message many don't want lost amidst the chaos. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Meanwhile, several of Richmond's black and brown-owned businesses were looted during the weekend protests, already suffering from COVID-19 financial losses. Some owners are concerned about their ability to recover. Yasmin Juma with VPM in Richmond reports.
Waller & Company Jewelers is a family-run store that's been in Richmond since 1900. Owner Richard Waller Jr. says the destruction to his property escalated as the protests went on.
This time they actually got in my store and vandalized it and took merchandise. We've been in business now for 120 years, and this is the worst that I've seen.
At the heart of the nationwide protests, he says, is racism. It posed challenges for his grandfather, who opened the business 120 years ago, and contributes to the lack of opportunities for black Americans today.
If we were all on equal plane, we would have this kind of a problem. It's possible, but it doesn't exist.
Other small businesses owned by people of color that were damaged and looted include Monument Shoe Store and Coliseum Loft Deli and Market.
That's Yasmin Juma from VPM reporting. Advocates for Justice held peaceful rallies over the weekend in other places. In Harrisonburg, about 300 people donning face masks and holding signs gathered at Court Square in Harrisonburg Friday evening to speak out against racism and police brutality. In Charlottesville, nearly 1,000 people gathered Saturday afternoon for a No Justice, No Peace, Black Lives Matter protest. And in downtown Stanton, demonstrators held a Justice for George Floyd rally on Saturday. The police killing of George Floyd has opened up wounds across state lines as protests take place throughout the country. VPM news intern Alan Rodriguez-Espinoza spoke with local experts to better understand the traumas being felt throughout African American communities.
The killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and Tony McDale have had a heavy impact on Black Americans throughout the country, including here in Richmond.
None of this is new, and we are just exhausted.
That's Tiffany Jana, the founder of TMI Consulting and an author whose work focuses on promoting diversity and inclusion and eliminating bias in the workplace. Jana says these violent incidents committed by police and white civilians contribute to what they call a human family trauma.
When one of us is killed, we are all harmed.
Jana says the demonstrations seen across the country are a result of feelings of desperation and helplessness that have plagued the Black community for generations.
Of course they're going to riot. Of course they're going to be upset because no one's listening to the soft voices, to the gentle pleas.
Jana also says tensions have been exacerbated by the coronavirus pandemic, which has a disproportionate economic, physical, and emotional toll on Black Americans.
This pandemic is tearing through communities of color, tearing through impoverished communities, and watching our brothers and our sisters and our siblings be murdered in the midst of all of this only adds insult to injury.
Slavery, racism, and discrimination have caused trauma for Black Americans for hundreds of years. There's growing research that this trauma can be passed down through generations. Police killings and brutality play a role in this. Bela Sood is a professor of psychiatry at Virginia Commonwealth University.
When you begin to hear mothers actually telling their children that they should not go out, that they should not be calling out a policeman, or they should not step out of the house, it is very concerning to me because it tells me that this has gone beyond the usual thing of being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Sood says that growing up in these conditions can have a detrimental impact on emotional development.
This is true anxiety, which is coming from this collective feeling that we are sitting ducks for bad things to happen to us simply because of the way we look. And that is a very subversive thing, which kind of really undercuts the fabric of society as we know it.
Richmond advocates have been calling for changes since the 2018 police killing of Marcus David Peters, a 24-year-old teacher shot to death while experiencing a mental crisis. Jasmine Leeward and Chelsea Hicks Wise with the group Justice and Reformation have two specific demands from local authorities. Firstly, the Marcus Alert, which would require police to bring in mental health professionals in moments of crisis. Richmond organizers are also calling for an independent citizen review board to oversee community grievances about law enforcement. Wise says these mechanisms are important to help Richmond's Black residents feel safe.
The community will trust better that the police will be held accountable if they know their peers are reviewing the cases and not other law enforcement agencies. So not just in the moment of crisis do we want to build trust, but also over the entire system and institution of Richmond policing.
As protesters in Richmond and throughout the United States continue to mourn and call for change, Jana recommends that those who have not felt this trauma firsthand pay close attention to the experiences of Black Americans.
It is important that you use your voice and that you speak up on behalf of what you know is right, that you listen very closely to what it is we say that we need and that you're able to meet us in that place.
From 2013 to 2019, an estimated 124 Virginians were killed by police. 42% of them were Black, despite the fact that Black Americans only make up around 20% of the state's population. An online petition calling for the Marcus Alert and Civilian Review Board have more than 6,000 signatures.
That's Alan Rodriguez-Espinoza from VPM News reporting. Meanwhile, unemployment in the Commonwealth hit a new record last week. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
New numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics show the unemployment rate in Virginia is now 10.6%, the highest level since state unemployment data began back in 1976. Stephen Hayner at the Thomas Jefferson Institute says it could be worse.
Virginia has a less restrictive shutdown. The governor did not close down industry. The governor did not close down all retailing, and he left construction underway. So those are good activities for the economy, and that's why Virginia's at 10%, and you're seeing some states at 15 and 20%.
Laura Gorin at the Commonwealth Institute says the previous downturn shows minorities are likely to be hit the hardest.
We really see that when we look at the Great Recession, when the unemployment rate for Black Virginians soared to 11% and stayed very high. Even 10 years after the Great Recession, it wasn't back to where it had been before the recession began.
A new report from George Mason University shows the pandemic has already created the same degree of joblessness as the recession did over the course of three quarters a decade ago. But it also points out the unemployment claims are expected to be temporary, indicating a recovery could be on the horizon just as soon as the economy starts moving again. Michael Pope.
Some CVS pharmacies in Virginia have started to offer self-swab coronavirus testing at their drive-through windows. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain tried it out and filed this report about her experience.
We made an appointment online, and then my husband and I got in the car, drove just a couple blocks away.
So I pulled up at the drive-through pharmacy.
Oh! Drive-through, are you picking up, dropping off, or for the test here?
I'm for the test. They ask if we have any medical conditions. No. If we have any symptoms. We don't. Are we first responders? Yes. My husband's a nurse and cared for a COVID patient. I'm a reporter and been out in the field.
I'm gonna take out the bag.
They give us swabs and direct through the glass window how to test ourselves.
Just hit your nostril, okay?
Okay. The swab goes in one nostril and then the other.
Keep going all the way.
It's like an uncomfortable tickling, not so bad.
Are you surviving?
Results, they say, will take 2 to 4 days.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
We have health insurance, so that was covered, but CVS is also offering the tests for free to those who don't. There are participating stores in Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, and Charlottesville. And in Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
There is also a CVS location in Winchester offering the tests. To learn more, go to the CVS.com website. Finally today, hurricane season begins today. It's June the 1st, and with the coronavirus already stretching emergency resources, the Red Cross of Virginia has made some changes in its preparation. Charles Fishburn with VPM reports.
Setting up evacuation shelters is a major part of the Red Cross of Virginia's response during hurricane season. Jonathan McNamara, the organization's communications director, says these shelters will be different.
It may mean more shelters that allow for smaller shelter populations in our facilities.
Instead of a shelter, last week the Red Cross put about 100 people displaced by flooding in Southwest Virginia in hotel rooms and delivered pre-packaged meals from local restaurants to their door.
A Red Cross volunteer dressed in personal protective gear would go to each of the rooms, knock on the door, and leave the food outside.
McNamara says that kind of separation in service means volunteers are more important than ever. 90% of the Red Cross's work in these situations is done by volunteers. Charles Fishburn, WMRA News.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Monday.